We're in a new series in 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? What does it mean for their day-to-day life? What does it mean for the future? Well, come along with us and see how Paul answers that question over the next few weeks.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 24. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. What would make you a better Christian? What status? What situation? What kind of life would make you a better Christian? I wonder how you'd answer that question. Perhaps it would be leaving your job to go and do full-time church work. Maybe it would be getting a degree. Or perhaps it would be attending Bible college. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, a better spiritual gift, tongues or prophecy. What would make you a better Christian? See, Christian culture today, things can be overemphasized to the point of making it sound or making it feel like there are things that you could do. Have this many children. Have this particular relationship. Give this much to church. The list could go on and on. In the city of Corinth, they have an answer. And that answer is to leave their marriage. Do you remember last week? That's what we were looking at last week. The Corinthians think that if they just left their marriages, they would be on the road to Christian success. That would give them a greater status amongst God's people. Now, perhaps you were sitting here last week and you thought to yourself, well, this has absolutely nothing to do with me. What is this doing here? It's a bit of an out there idea, you might be thinking. Not something for you particularly. Well, my hope is that this evening, Paul's point, his big point of the section, is going to land properly. Because in our passage this evening, Paul wants the Corinthians and us to get the underlying point he's making. And that point applies to each and every one of us this evening. And it's going to help us to grapple with the logic of what Paul was saying last time. And that point is the answer to what would make you a better Christian. And Paul's answer is this: nothing. Nothing, because you already have everything. Just like the rest of this letter, Paul wants to change our thinking. He wants us to realise, to really understand what happened when we came to believe in Jesus. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, that feels a bit underwhelming, well, it might just be that you need to hear the reasoning this evening. And if you're happy with that answer, then gaining more confidence in why that is the case is going to be a great thing to do. I mean, that covers everything, right? Because in this passage, Paul wants us to see that you don't need to change your social status to be a better Christian. Changing your status is something for social media. Something like LinkedIn will get you comments. Facebook will get you likes. But in the eternal story, you don't need to leave your job. You don't need to get a degree. You don't need to go to Bible college. You don't even need a new spiritual gift. And in the Corinthian case, you don't need to leave your marriage. You don't even need to get married or become single or do anything because you already have everything. In fact, let me highlight that so we really get that this evening. You, and I mean each and every one of us, you already have everything. Now make sure you hear me as I say this. That doesn't mean that you can't change your status, your situation. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't change your situation. And that definitely doesn't mean you mustn't change your situation. Remember, the call of Christ has already called us out of worldliness. Do you remember that list in chapter 6, verses 9 to 10? We already left that behind. Now, what Paul wants us to be clear on is that you don't need to change your social status to be more Christian. It's completely unnecessary. There is no imperative here to change your circumstances to get a better status as a Christian. Hopefully, as we work through the text, this is going to become clear to all of us. But actually, Paul's already said this in the letter. Just flick back with me to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Let's see how he's done that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul said, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Just notice the status there. These believers in Corinth, Paul can say, already are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are already holy in Christ Jesus. They have the status when they were called. Or move your eyes down to verses 5 to 7 of chapter 1. Paul can say, in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Do you see that? You have been enriched, past tense. In Christ, you've been enriched in every way. You've been given all that you need as you wait for Jesus. There is no more to be added. There is no status that will give you something more. The Corinthians have, as we're saying this evening, already got everything. Well, let's see that in our text, shall we? First thing to see this evening is, you have been called already. Remember, that's the big moment that Paul has highlighted to us throughout this letter. You were called. You were summoned into the fellowship of the Son. Quick history test. When did that happen? Well, in the past. You are already part of the fellowship of the Son. You cannot become more a part of that than you already are. If you're in the fellowship, you're already part of God's temple. If you're in the fellowship, you're already part of Christ, Christ's body. You can't become more temple-y or more part of the body than you already are. You are in that fellowship. Have a look down at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Believers, each person should live their lives in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them. Here's the big phrase of this passage. Just as God has called them. And that is as true for Corinth as it is for Hemel Hempstead, as it is for all churches. Do you see? You're already called, so crack on with serving Jesus in whatever situation you find yourself in now. Perhaps you think to yourself, well, if only God knew what situation I was in, God would certainly change his mind if God knew where I really was at. Can this situation really be where God wants me to be? Well, have another look again at verse 17. Look close enough so you can see the dots of ink. See, the situation you're in, the life you're living right now, right in the middle of the first verse, is the situation that the Lord has actually assigned you. God knows your situation exactly, and he has called you specifically in that situation. So live for him in it. We enjoyed doing this last week, at least Danny did, so we're going to do it again. Just have a look around at the people in this room. Go on. Each and every one of us has been called. And that is what matters. It's not our social status. It's not our tax return. It's not our education level. It's not our relationship status. The only thing that matters is that you've been called. And that has happened already. This room shows that, doesn't it? Nothing changes that. And that is the idea. This is the drumbeat of this whole passage. We've seen it in verse 17. Have a look at verse 20. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Or if it's not abundantly clear yet, have a look down at verse 24. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Paul can't be clearer, can he? You've already been called, so you can remain in the situation you're already in. Remember the big context of this passage? The Corinthians think they're going to flee their marriages to make themselves better Christians. Well, Paul says here, remain in the situation you were in when God called you. We might think that changing our job, our relationship status, our education would make us better Christians. What would Paul say? Remain in the situation you were in when God called you. The Corinthians were called when... 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But did that stop God calling them? Of course not. Did that stop them being brought to be part of his temple that's going to last forever? Of course not. Did that stop them being part of Christ's body? No, of course not. In that very situation, the Corinthians had everything. And the same goes for us. You've been called already. You cannot become more called. So don't get stressed out about your social standing. Don't care what the world around you thinks. In Christ, you have everything. And that's our second point this evening. This all means you don't need to change your social situation. Paul gives us two examples in our passage of social situation. Firstly, circumcision. That's whether you are in or out of the Jewish people. And secondly, slavery. Whether you are free or enslaved. Let's see this principle worked out, shall we? First example, have a look down at verse 18. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Corinth is a mixing pot of people. That's really helpful to remember as we work through this letter. You have Jews and Gentiles together. You have all sorts of languages, all sorts of abilities, all sorts of professions moving through this city. And the temptation might be to think that getting circumcised would make you more Christian. I mean, just think what that would do for you. You could claim the background of a Jewish believer. You could be a messianic Christian. I mean, you see the same idea today, don't you? Not in circumcision, I don't think. But people who are really keen to read Jewish sources of the Bible. Or people who are really keen to go visit the Holy Land to get baptized really in the River Jordan. And some people say that makes you better somehow. Do you see, there's the temptation the other way. On the other side, the temptation might be to cover it up. To think they're getting uncircumcised, let's not think about how that's going to happen, but to think they're getting uncircumcised is actually a better status. Perhaps God has saved you more if you go from being a Gentile to a Christian. kind of like winning Stakes and Ladders by going from 1 to 100 in one go. But what is Paul saying here? He's saying, remain as you are, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. I mean, when you really think about it, it makes sense. There is no correlation to who is called based on circumcision. There is no relation to who listens to God more based on circumcision. It doesn't affect who God calls. The Corinthians were called as they were. Changing your social status doesn't matter. Being circumcised or uncircumcised doesn't affect what has already happened. Remember, we were called in the past, in the situation we were in then. You don't need to do anything now to become more called back then. Instead, what does Paul say? He says, as we wait, end of verse 19, keeping God's commands is what counts. Paul is saying, keep following God's commands. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you are in that situation, so live it out. Second example, verses 21 to 23. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who is free when called is Christ's slave. You're bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. You can just imagine the stigma of being a slave. Perhaps you're feeling, oh, in this church, I'm at the bottom of the pile. Perhaps you feel like people are looking down on you for it. What does Paul say here? Well, if you were a slave when you were called, don't let it trouble you. The gospel doesn't make those distinctions. You don't need to change your social status to become a better Christian. Being a slave or being free, well, it makes no difference as to whether you're a Christian. But you could change your situation if you like. Did you spot that? End of verse 21. If a slave has the opportunity for freedom and they desire it, well, then go for it. But not because it makes you a better Christian. Simply because you can. In fact, Paul says that's a good thing to do. It's exactly the same as the widows who were getting married at the start of this chapter. If they had an opportunity and a desire to do it, then sure, go for it. Or don't. But definitely not because it makes you a better Christian. I mean, for us, if we find a job that we like the look of, or we have an opportunity to go and do a course, we are totally at liberty to go and do it. But not because it makes you a better Christian. Because remember, you have everything already. You see that clearly in verse 22. Those called in the Lord already have had their status changed. A slave who is called by Jesus is a freed person in the Lord. And a free man is a slave, or better, a servant of Christ. A servant of the servant. You see, your worldly status has no impact on your relationship with Jesus. Whether you're married or unmarried, you can serve God. Whether you're a white collar, a blue collar, or I have no idea what a collar is, you can serve God. Whether you're a manual labourer or a knowledge worker, or anything in between, you can serve God. Whether you left school at 14, 18, or you're still at school, well, you get the idea. All of those things are actually worldly distinctions. Things that Paul can say here make you a slave to human beings. They're the way the world divides people up and assigns them value. To do that is actually worldly wisdom. But what has God done? That he's driven a demolition truck right through those categories by way of the cross. Verse 23, you were bought at a price. Just look around again. That has to be true, doesn't it? As we look at each other, we're all different, but we're all united in one body. To think that you must change your status in this world is a misguided thing. To think that changing your status affects your call is a worldly idea. And remember, the world is passing away. Yes, getting a degree might unlock certain jobs in this world, but there is no test, not even in a member's interview, to becoming a Christian. Yes, having money in this world might win you different friends, but the gospel is for free and for all. The call of God is what matters, And the call of God has set you free from all of that. And where else do you see that in its full technicolor than the church family? All sorts equal before the cross. So your life now, you can live for God in the situation he has assigned you, following the call, living God's way in the world. And that's refreshing, isn't it? It's extremely liberating, isn't it? You don't need to be distressed by your status, because no status can make you a better Christian. For the Corinthians, that means they don't have to even contemplate fleeing their marriage, because it doesn't do anything for their status in Christ. Instead, as we saw last week, it would actually be harmful for them to do. The Corinthians have the freedom to stay as they are, to live the life that God has assigned them and has called them in. To jostle for a better status is a worldly thing to do, and that is foolish. Remembering that keeping God's commands are what counts, living for him as they wait in whatever situation he's assigned them. And the same goes for us, doesn't it? In any situation, social situation you find yourself in, you can serve God. You can live for God in it. If you have the opportunity and the desire to change your status within the limits of God's commands, go for it. But it makes no difference to your calling. It doesn't change your status before God. Worldly categories have no impact on spiritual realities. The moment God called you, you became God's. And that was the most radical status change that could ever happen. And it's already happened. So you can remain as you were called. You're responsible to God. You can live for the audience of one, not for those around you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Any questions can come to podcast email podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.